This morning, we want to talk about the word honor. When you think of the word honor, is it a burden or is it a blessing? Several weeks ago, I shared on the same thing of honor. And as I got to looking at what it means to honor someone and in what all areas of life that honoring entails, I soon discovered that it's not something that you can just condense into one 30-minute segment. And so, as you recall, the other week when I spoke, I shared mostly about those in civil authority, those in civil government, those that we have to submit to, whether we like it or not, or we will face consequences in a physical way. But to honor someone versus submitting to them, I think can be two different things. And again, we just want to reiterate a little bit what we spoke about, and that was the word respect and the word honor. And the Bible, if you look at King James and you look at NIV, there's different times in both of those versions that the word honor and the word respect are used at different times for the same word. But again, just for the sake of making a little bit of clarity this morning, I want to separate the word honor and the word respect. If you recall, the other Sunday, I shared a few quotes. The one was that respect is earned, honor is owed. And again, don't go too deep on these two words as far as separating them, but for the message and for in your thinking, I would like us to see them being separated, just to help us get a little bit better understanding of what it would mean to honor those that we are to honor. Another one is that respect is based on how a person performs. Honor is based on a person's position. The Bible tells us to honor our father and mother, not because we think that they deserve respect or honor, but because of their position. Then another one is, whether or not I respect a person says something about their life, their values, and their character. Whether or not I honor a person says something about my life, about my values, and about my character. And as you recall, if you might remember, those were some that I had shared the other week. When we think of respecting someone, and you don't have to live in the South for too long till you begin to understand what it means to have respect. Children are taught from a young age by those that live in the South, for sure, a degree of respect that maybe we're lacking in as people coming in. And that is to use proper terminology when you're addressing someone who is for sure older than you. But this morning, could we maybe understand and think that to just respect someone is not a bad thing? To show respect to someone is not a bad thing. But to honor someone is to take it to a deeper level. Because how many times have you ran into people and you know that person pretty well, but when you run into them and when you speak with them, they speak with high regards to you. They speak with respect to you. But you know when you leave that person's presence, from past experience, and if past experience is a hint of what's going to happen again, you know that those people will have some words against you because of how you looked, how you acted, how you dressed, or how you spoke to them, or how you live your life in some other way. There is a lack of honor when that happens. And this morning we took in Jody and Trent. Their grandfather, Norman, passed away the other week. Brother Norman comes to my mind when I think of someone honoring someone. Because with Norman, it has been in the last several years that whenever I came into his presence, I felt an honor coming from, a radiance coming from him reflected to me. And Norman was 24, 25 years my senior. So it wasn't that he needed to respect me because of me being older than him, because that was not the case. I was very much young enough to be his son. But I believe what he respected and what he honored, above respect and what he honored, was my position as a leader. And what he honored in me was he wanted to encourage me to be that type of a person that would be worthy of honor amongst those that I would lead. I felt that very much from Norman. Probably more so than anyone else outside of our church body here. And does it mean that Norman would have agreed with every stand, with every principle that I believe in the way that I conduct my life, in the way that I apply biblical principles? No. I wouldn't just venture to say he probably would. I'm sure he didn't, because if Norman would agree with everything the way that I would think, he would have been a member at Shiloh Mennonite Church. But he wasn't. And so, very much, you can honor someone even though they have a different viewpoint than what you have. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but in John chapter 8, Jesus actually spoke of his purpose and of his mission to come to this earth, and that was to honor his Father. Jesus did not come to save sinners, primarily. Jesus' number one purpose for coming to this earth was to honor and do the will of his Father. Everything else was secondary to that. So if Jesus, the Savior of the earth, the Savior of the universe, did that, do you not think it's also important for you and I to know and understand what it would mean to honor our parents? And this morning, that's the area I want to go into, is honoring our parents, our physical birth parents or our physical adoptive parents, those that we would call mom and dad, those that we would call mother-in-law and father-in-law. Does it mean that we have to understand everything and why that person operates the way they do? No, it does not. But I will say this. Last Saturday night, I was working in Due West, and I was going to go on a walk in town there. Suddenly realized that my shoes were not in my truck. My walking shoes were at home in another vehicle. So I commenced to go walking in my work shoes that I had on. And everything seemed fine. But the next morning, as I got up and as I moved around, my feet were hurting. I was sore. And as I thought of that, we hear the statement to don't judge someone else until you walk a mile in their shoes. And this morning, there's things that you look at your parents. There's things that you don't understand why they respond the way they do in certain situations. There's things for young people that you don't understand why they require this out of you. And again, we'll go into it a little bit later as to what the responsibility is of children and what is the responsibility of growing children as adults. But very much so, to the greater degree that I'm willing to take and to get into the life of those that I am to honor, and that the more I'm willing to try to understand why that person does the way he does, why she does the way he does, why the way she does, the more I try to understand what are some of the life experiences that that person has went through, the better I am going to be at being caring for that person. The better I'm going to be at being sympathetic towards that person, even when I might feel that I'm not treated the way I should be treated as a child, as the child of that parent. So be willing to ask questions. Be willing to spend time and to build relationship. So often something happens and we build walls. And what I seem to find is that so often when walls are built, when relationships are severed or when relationships are strained at the very least, it's because of misunderstandings. It's because you think that this is why this person has done this to you, when actually if you'd stop and you'd analyze it and if you would get down into it and you'd spend some time, you'd find out that the reason that you thought things were happening is really not the reason. But it takes time to dig and to spend time and to show you care. Well, what causes you or I to dishonor someone? What causes you to dishonor your mom or your dad or your mother-in-law or your father-in-law? Could we narrow it down to one word, and that is selfishness on my part? Because so often the reason that we come to a point of not honoring is because I feel like I'm being deprived of being able to live my life, or I feel like I've been cheated out of something in my life, or I feel like I've been mistreated as I was growing up. Therefore, this person does not deserve my honor. Well, I'm here to say this morning, that is not anything that should have any bearing on whether you honor or whether you don't honor. Honor comes when you recognize a person's value. And each one of us, as God's creation, we have a huge value. Christ died on the cross for each one of us. Respect focuses on behavior, doing the appropriate thing, whereas honor comes from deep down within your heart. Honor attaches worth to a person. That you look at that person and you honor them because you recognize them as having great value. Honor teaches us a great appreciation, a deep appreciation of someone. Honor deals with meaningfulness in relationships. Well, again, what the word honor, if you'd look it up in the dictionary, the dictionary tells me that it's got three synonyms. The one would be to esteem. Another one is, a part of honor is respect. Another part of it is to pay homage to. And the other one is assigning value to. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but as I understand, the Greek word translated into our English for honor means to prize or to fix a valuation upon. By implication, or to revere. Why do we honor the president? Even when I might not agree with him, but we honor him because of the position. Why do we honor our parents? For at the very least, they're the ones who gave you life. Without that, you would not even have had a chance to live and to breathe. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, just the first couple of verses. Very familiar passage. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So you, as young children, you as you are sitting around the table, and as you have your feet under mom and dad's table, you have no choice but to obey your parents. The only out would be is if you know that your parent is asking you to do outright sin. But as children, the Bible tells us that they are to obey. It's a very short verse, and it's a very familiar verse. It's one that we all know. But he didn't stop with that. He goes on to say in verse 2 that you're to honor your father and your mother. And I believe this verse is going on to the next step now. Now that you're a little bit older, maybe you've left home. Maybe you've gotten married and you have children of your own. You are still to honor your father and your mother. Period. There's no exceptions. And it goes on to say, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. We might say, well, I know people who have honored their parents and their life was snubbed out. They did not live a long life. But yet, someone who honors, someone who reveres God and seeks after Him and then honors those that Scripture asks us to honor. It doesn't matter if you die at the age of 18 or if you die at the age of 88. That's a long life, because a life that is bent on serving Christ is a good life, is a long life. Then I want to go on to Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. And this scripture just stuck out to me. It's like, boy, where do you come up with anything to talk about with honor in this one except in the one verse? But in Matthew 19, starting at verse 16, it says, "Now a man came to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which ones?' the man inquired. Jesus replied, 'Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." We look at Scripture and we're like, well, oh my, does this mean that everything I have? I mean, Jesus is saying that us as believers, we need to sell everything we have. Is that what Jesus was saying? When I read this week, looking at it, verse 20 really stood out to me. This is how I would like to read verse 20. And this is after Jesus said the different things that he needs to do, the different commands that he needs to obey to inherit eternal life. The young man said, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And I think if I would have been Jesus at that point, I think I would have probably said, yeah, right. I really believe in studying this passage that if this man would have been honest and truthful about having kept these commands that Jesus had mentioned, Jesus would not have had to go on to say, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor so that you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Because if he would have been doing these things, Jesus would not have had to tell him to come follow me. He would have already been following him. But somehow, it seemed like this young man thought that he could maybe pull one over Jesus. Maybe he thought that Jesus wouldn't know that he wasn't doing all of these things. But Jesus, as we know, could see right into his heart, straight in. And I think Jesus knew this man was not following these commands. He was not honoring his father and his mother. And for sure, if he was not doing that, he was not loving his neighbor as himself. And as we know, Scripture would tell us that there's only two commands that we're really to obey, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it says that all the other commands are hinged upon those two. Loving your neighbor as yourself goes right along with you honoring your parents. love is not so much this touchy-feely, but it's more an action. It's more a decision on my part. How am I going to respond to those who had the responsibility of raising me up? Am I going to respond in a way that's positive, in spite of whatever happened, in spite of the lack of diligence that we might see on their part that they could have done better, my parents could have done different? It has nothing to do with how I was treated, but it has all to do with my decision. First of all, knowing that God said in His Word, we are to honor our father and our mother. And I don't believe, brothers and sisters, that ever leaves us. That will follow us our whole life long. And when you do that, the world will know. And today we live in a society where honor, where even older people, and we'll get into that more in several weeks, I want to speak more about respecting those that are our elders, that are just older than us, the gray-haired ones. But we won't have time to get into that this morning. But in our society, we're fast losing that kind of respect for that wisdom. Going on, the fifth commandment that we have in the Old Testament back in Exodus 20, verse 12. Again, it talks about honoring your father and mother so that you may live long in this life. Has no qualifications to it. It's just a simple statement. Has nothing to do with whether your parents were honorable or not honorable. Simply because they are your parents, you are to honor them. But the good side is, if you do that, you will have a long life. If you do that, you will have a good life. Could it be this morning that if you're sitting here and you're saying, life really doesn't seem that good right now. My life has been hard. My life has been difficult. I don't know why things happen to me the way they do. Could it be that if you would stop and go back and see how you've been honoring or you have not been honoring your parents? John 8:29. This is Jesus talking. He says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is submitting himself to someone other than his own self. Even him being the very part of God himself. But he submitted himself to the Father. And his purpose was to come and to please his Father. Verse 49 says, I know I'm just jumping through this one here, but verse 49 says, I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And the Jews, they were coming against Jesus because of some of the things that he was saying, and even to the point of accusing him of being possessed by a demon. But Jesus made it very clear, my purpose is to honor my Father. And then going on down to, let's look at John 17. I think we have that one on the board yet. John 17, verses 1 through 5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those that you have given to him. Now, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Jesus, again, in this prayer that he prayed, he was all about the Father's glory. At this point in his life, can you imagine Jesus, what he would have really done if he had just done what he wanted to do on his own, and that is he just run and get away from it. Because Jesus had the same feelings and the same struggles, I think, that we as other humans on this earth. He did not want to face that cross. That was not something that he looked forward to. But he knew that that was the Father's will, and he knew that that was the Father's design, that that was going to be the redemption of mankind for him to give his life on that cruel cross. And even as he prayed, he said, "Father, glorify yourself." What would it look like, brothers and sisters, if we could look at our parents, the wrongs that we've been done, the things that we've been mistreated in, if we could do everything in our power with the help of God to say, "Heavenly Father, glorify yourself through the way that I treat my parents. I know things may not have been right. I know that there's things that have been done. There's things that haven't been done." And each one of you sitting here this morning, you can probably come up with as good a parent you've had. There's areas in life that your parents have failed in. And I remember when we were up at Life Ministries here a couple years ago, Dan Beachy, one of the counselors, in one of the sessions he spoke about children speaking up and talking about and addressing things that their parents didn't do for them, things that their parents lacked in taking care of as they were growing up. And his own son was in a session at one point, and he came up with these several things. And Dan said he sat there, and he, as I remember, and he cringed at the fact that something like this could come up about him from his own son. But he said as he stopped and realized and analyzed and thought about it and considered it and pondered it, that each one of us, there's things that we have not done right. At the very least, there's things that we haven't done just quite right with our children. We don't like to consider that. We like to consider that we've done a good job with raising, with teaching and training. But each one of us, we failed in different areas. But again, the Bible does not give any room for us as children to dishonor our parents for that. I take you back to my growing up years, my struggle with my own father. I struggled with that because there was issues in his life that he had a life going on over here with some things that he didn't want us to know about, although we knew about it, but it was never talked about. Those things, those habits that he had caused certain reactions in his life. They caused him to make certain decisions, which equal to just simple neglect of those that God gave him, i.e. his children. Because he knew that he was not the man that he should be. But yet there's times that he would try to put it on his children to be a man or a woman of God. But yet, I think he knew deep down in, his life was not where it needed to be. I remember times when I was a little kid, and when I was little, I was round. And I remember there was times that he would go to town, he would go to the lumber yard on a Saturday or whatever, go to the store. The little boys like to go with their daddies. And so I would approach him about going with him. No, the answer was, I just don't remember times of going with him into town. There was always some kind of a reason or excuse. And in my mind, at the young age, I can probably think 7, 8, 9 years old, I had it in my mind that probably He was ashamed of me because of who I was and of how I appeared. And he was a carpenter. He was a builder. And I even imagined that he would probably go out to his carpenter jobs and he would meet with his clients and the men and women that he was, which were his clients. I imagined him going out there and dealing with them, and by no way, shape, means, or form would he ever acknowledge that he's married and has a wife and has children, but much more, even would have a little son named Jerry. I had imagined that in my mind, that he was ashamed of me because of some reason, something that I had done. And so often, each one of you, you face those things in your life because of something that happened with your parents. We all do. And even at that young age, I vividly remember that. And as I grew up, I realized, no, my dad was not ashamed of me. As I grew older, I realized my dad was very proud of me. But he had this little habit called smoking that he didn't want us to know that he did. But we all knew it. But that caused certain things to happen in his life. That caused him to make certain decisions in his life which resulted in neglect. That was something, brothers and sisters, that I dealt with. As my dad was 70, 75 and 80 years old, those were things that came back to my mind. It was like, why should I be here? How long am I going to continue taking my life and spending my life looking out for him? How long is it going to be before I'm going to get to live my life? That's why I said at the very beginning, usually when you come to a lack of honor, when you come to the point where you dishonor your parents, it's because you feel like there's something that they deserve for you to treat them like that because of somewhere they have neglected you in the past. I had to come to a point in my life, brothers and sisters, where I had to lay that down. I had to come to a point in my life where I had to lay that down and confess that as sin. And I determined that there was nothing that was going to stop me from honoring my dad. I determined, by God's help, when anyone would come into his presence and I was there, my first reaction was going to be, "This is my dad. This is the one who raised me." And by saying that, I'm not saying that everything he did was right. I'm just simply acknowledging the fact that this is my earthly father and I honor him. When he would go with me, we'd go eat lunch somewhere. I would say, "This is my dad." When he'd be in the office, when there would clients come in for cabinets, I would first of all say, "This is my dad." I come to the point where I realized I didn't have to apologize for him, even if he didn't do things quite the way I thought he should, even if he maybe didn't clean up the way I thought he should. I don't have to apologize for that. All that God requires me to do is to honor him. I know there was times that he would come over to the house and we had ate his supper, but he would come in after I got home. He always knew when his little boy came home. And it would usually be about 10 or 15 minutes after I was in the house, he would come on in the door. And he already ate. He didn't want to eat. But I'm ashamed to say this morning, but it's a part of my life. But I did not welcome him because my thoughts were, why can't this man give me at least an hour at home with my wife and with my children? Never did I breathe a word about anything of that to him. But I'll guarantee you something. You can't hide the way you act. I'm sure that he felt that. And there was a point in time after I confessed that, I think it was probably a matter of 2 or 3 weeks. And I didn't even tell him that I changed anything, that I was changing anything. But in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks after I confessed it as sin, my father's countenance completely changed. He became a man who had a smile on his face. His face, some of his wrinkles left. And nothing, I kid you, nothing happened on his part. It wasn't that he did anything different. But it was simply for the fact, the way his son respected him now and honored him. There was no reason why I should change the way I did, because he did not come to me and say, Jerry, I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. But it was simply a decision on my part, and that's where we have to come to this morning, brothers and sisters. We have to come to a decision on our part, no matter what happened in my life, no matter what happened as I grew up, that we have to lay those things down. And I can honestly say, the day that my father passed away, I remember that night going over, standing over in the front porch of our house and looking over at the trailer where he had lived, and it was dark. And I cried because he was gone. There's when the reality hit me that no longer was my earthly father going to be able to come in the back door and sit down with us. But I can honestly say that when I looked over there and I seen that dark house, I didn't have regrets. And how I'm thankful to God that somehow he put it into me to lay that down. My mother passed away when I was 13 years old. And I look at that today and I count that a blessing. You might say, well, how in the world can you do that? But I look at the things in my life that are different today because of the passing of my mother at a young age in my life. God does not make mistakes. So often we try to figure out why God allowed this and this, and somehow God must have been looking the other way when this happened. But God has purpose and God has plan in everything that He does. All we need to do is to mold ourselves and to fit ourselves into His plan. Are you at odds this morning with your dad? Are you at odds this morning with your mom? When was the last time you really did honor your mother? When you really did honor your father? And you might be thinking this morning, well, there was things that weren't the way I would have liked them to have been, but we just won't talk about it. I'll guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that it will not go away. We think that if we just don't talk about it, that it's not there. That is a lie from Satan, and it continues to fester and to grow. What are you willing to do this morning? How much are you willing to lay down? Are you willing to lay down your whole life? Are you willing to look your mom, your dad, in the eyes and say, I honor you. I respect you deeply. And leave it at that. To not hold grudges, to not hold bitterness. And this morning I'd mentioned about Brother Norman passing away. And if we'd allow Norma to come up here this morning, I'm sure she could probably tell us things that have gone through her mind even now, that she could tell you that have your parents, that have your dad still living. Take advantage of the time while you have it. Take advantage and be there for your parents. Doesn't matter if your dad was a drunk. Doesn't matter if your mother was a liar. He was still your dad. She was still your mom. I would plead with each one of you that you would fall before God and you'd say, Lord, if there's anything that I'm holding my parents at an arm's length for, would you reveal that to me? And then give it up. Then repent of it. Because Satan knows what he can do to keep us in bondage. And so often, we allow him to have that privilege. Honor, is it a burden or is it a blessing? I can hang on to my life. I can hang on to my rights. I can hang on to my agenda. I can also hang on to my misery. I can hang on to my regrets, my loss. I can hang on to my grief and to my guilt. It's my choice. This morning, brothers and sisters, it's your choice. You have to decide how your life is going to live out and how your life is going to look from here forward. And I would beg of you, make that right choice. Honor your father and your mother. Shall we stand for closing prayer?